go back into the Gospels, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that we could rightly divide your word. Help us, Lord, to learn what your Spirit will teach us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, to understand it and to be obedient to it. We thank you, Father, and we pray this in your precious Son's name. Amen. I titled this message, "What Are You Doing?" The Bible was not given to us to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." So along with faithful teaching of God's Word, there also must be faithful listening to the Word. If God's Word is going to make an impact in our lives, we need to receive the Word of God correctly. Faithful teaching without faithful listening will be like seed that fell on stony ground. I'm going to start reading in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. "On the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, 'Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of soil.'" I lost my place. Let me start verse 4 again. "So he sowed, some fell seed by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The illustration spoken of in Matthew, we see that it was not the quality of the seed that came into the question, but it was the quality of the ground that it was sowed in. Only fertile soil is capable of producing 30, 60, or 100-fold. Fertile soil is formed by rock that has been broken down by weather and time. The weathering creates small particles that form the soil's base. These particles mix with organic matter, then they become wet with rain or snow or ice, and then the organic matter provides newly developed soil with nutrients. As more particles degrade, the soil layer becomes thicker and better able to support a healthy crop. Having the soil of our heart fertile to be productive Christians begins by us accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Some rocky hearts are broken down by a little weather, those I would call sandstone type hearts. The other extreme are hearts that resemble granite. It takes a number of intense storms to wear down granite-type hearts. In either extreme, or those in between, God sends just the right weather to start the process of forming the soil of our hearts. After the first winter, the pilgrims spent in the New World, they lost about half their settlers that first winter. The pilgrims survived that following year by listening to the natives, who taught them to bury a fish with the seeds that they planted so it could grow, a good crop would grow. Nothing can grow unless something else dies. We must first die to self. Amen. This is the work of the Holy Spirit that leads us to die to ourselves. If the soil of our heart is shallow, having rock as its base, we are unable to grow to our full potential as followers of Christ. Since our hearts are deceive us and is desperately wicked, only God knows the condition of our hearts. We'll have a little participation, class participation, so to speak. Do you guys believe that it's possible to become sermon proof? Sermon proof. Unfortunately, the answer to that question is yes. You hear sermon, nothing gets in your heart or in your head. Back in the day, back long, long time ago, in the 70s, Keith Green wrote a song over the years that has prompted me to do a self-heart examination. How many of you have heard me sing? Good, you're not going to hear me tonight. I'm just gonna read the words in this song. My eyes are dry, my faith is old, my heart is hard, my prayers are cold, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. But what can be done with an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. The way in which an individual listens to the word directly impacts their lives. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, Solomon wrote to his son about seeking after wisdom. This is also a pattern for seeking after God. Solomon wrote in verse 3, if you call out for insight, and verse 5 says in part, then you will understand. So our approach to Scripture needs to be the cry of our heart, a genuine longing for truth. This is the challenge that confronts each and every one of us. Let's turn to the book of James, and I'll start reading in verse 22, chapter 1. James writes, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James seems to be saying that we need to guard against the danger of self-deception. Let me read verse 22 again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. There is a subtle temptation to become hearers only. The problem with becoming a hearer only is that you don't realize that you have become a hearer only. The story goes like this. You put a frog in boiling water, it senses the temperature and immediately jumps out. But if you take that same, not the same frog because that one's dead, but if you take a frog and put it in cold water and gradually turn up the temperature, it'll stay there till it boils to death. There is a danger, I believe, among Christians that they reach a stage, for whatever reason, that they no longer benefit from the word as it is taught. And that leads me to another question. Is it possible to become word-hardened, reading the Bible and not getting anything out of it? One of the evidences that we may have become a hearer only is that if we come to verse 22, which says, don't just listen to the word, do what it says, we say in our minds, I know this stuff. I've heard this verse 100 times. Don't be a hearer only, do what it says. Or, the preacher starts teaching and you say to yourself, this guy's sermon's way too long, I might take a nap. Or, he keeps saying the same things over and over again. If we are at that point able to shut out what is then said, we have just deceived ourselves. James said, don't merely listen. What he doesn't say is, just do something. He says, do what it says. So it may be possible to be a hearer only, but also be a very active member in the church. Just because you may be busy doing stuff for God You may not be obeying what God is saying to you through His Word. When we become self-deceived, there's a danger of saying, I don't get anything out of the sermons. I don't get anything from reading God's Word. James 1:23 in the New Living Translation says, for if you listen and don't obey, it is like looking at your face in a mirror, but doing nothing to improve your appearance. God's Word is the mirror. Into it, God's people look. As we look, it shows us what we really like: condemned, poor, blind, and helpless before God. It shows us that each and every one of us is in need of a Savior. It also shows us that Jesus Christ is that Savior. Instead of a casual glance, we need a constant, intense gaze into God's Word. James is saying, when we look into God's Word, it is important that we apply the changes that the Word shows us. Amen. When exposed to God's Word, we need to be prepared and always looking forward to comply with the requirements of God's Word. We need to be in a state of habitual submission to God's Word. Be ready to obey at all times. Don't be like the person in verse 24 who observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Back in verse 25 of James, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Here James is teaching us a very important spiritual mathematical equation. Who likes math? Yeah, I didn't think anybody did. Well, maybe Jerry. And this equation is hearing plus obedience equals blessing. Hearing plus obedience equals blessing. Let's go to the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Keep a mark in James, please. 1 Samuel 15. And we'll take selected passages out of this. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Let's jump to verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good. And were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless they utterly destroyed. Let's go to the next verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the iniquity of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Now Samuel wasn't suggesting that sacrifice was unimportant, but what he was saying was sacrifice is only acceptable if it is brought with the right attitude of obedience to the Lord. I am convinced that if a person sets his or her will above the command of the Lord, like our buddy Saul did, he or she ceases to be useful instruments for the Lord. I am convinced that if a person Looking back at this passage in James, let's flip back to James. James says that we are to look intently into God's Word. When we see it, we're to apply it to our life. And by that, we are changed. James says that the way we look into God's Word, that's important. It's not just a casual glance. The individual who looks intently so that God's Word takes root in their lives. When we are prepared to obey what the mirror of God's Word says, then we will be blessed. James said, if you keep looking steadily, intently into God's Word, God's perfect law, you'll be blessed. It's the same word used in John chapter 20 when Peter looked into the empty tomb. Gospels. John 20, please. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple, that's John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, John, looking down, saw linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. What Peter did in verse 6 was different from what John did in verse 5. What John did in verse 5 was, he simply, when he saw, he just made an observation. But when Peter looked and saw, this word means that he made an earnest but more continued inspection of what he was looking at. Not only does God's Word need to be faithfully taught, faithfully received, it also needs to be correctly applied. Application of God's Word in our life is essential to our growth as Christians. I encourage all of you, keep a journal. Write down what you read in the Bible. And then there will come a point where God will impress a verse on you. Write it down. Because this is what God's mirror is reflecting for you to apply into your life. There's 5 easy steps to applying God's Word. Verse, truth, need, intent, and follow-up. First of all, record a verse that you may come across during your quiet time or even during a teaching. Something that God has impressed upon you to address. Next, state the truth about that verse. Third, state how you have personally fallen short of that truth. Fourth, state a simple action that shows your intent to correct this particular area in your life. And then check up. Check up on yourself. Or share with somebody you're close to the thing or things that you intend to do. Verse and truth, need, intent, and checkup. Let me share with you a personal application that I have written for myself. This is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. This is the NIV version. And what I wrote was, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And the truth I wrote about this verse was, the Apostle Paul expects and hopes that he will not give in to temptation to abandon the gospel to reduce his suffering. He is also resolved in his service to Christ, knowing that through his faithfulness, Christ will be exalted, even if he dies. And the need my personal need was I need to exalt Christ more clearly to non-believers who I come in contact with. And the next step I wrote was, I intend to step out more boldly and make a stand for Christ as the Lord presents opportunity. And what I wrote as a checkup was, I will enter my quiet time journal the next time I can identify more closely and exalt the name of Christ. The degree of application that we give to God's Word must have priority in our life. James is calling us to a standard application and seriousness far above what we regard as important in this world. Make the application of God's Word a priority in your life. How many in the military, or what are in the military? Okay, you'll recognize this acronym, SOP. It stands for Standard Operating Procedure. They are detailed written instructions to achieve uniformity of the performance of a specific function. Their focus is set on always the repeated applying of unchanged processes and procedures. I have a close friend who used to work in a place that manufactured the chemicals, this is going to date me, that manufactured chemicals that went into making of mood rings. Okay? Who had a mood ring? Nobody. Come on. Okay. Well, part of the process was they took hydrogen peroxide that was wet and they had to distill it. From that dry peroxide, they mixed it with other chemicals and made the chemical that went into the mood rings. Well, the place that they bought the procedure from forgot in their SOP to add copper shavings to the process. Well, the resulting explosion blew off the roof of the building and sent my friend to the hospital with severe burns. It don't take much to get stuff wrong. When we are reading God's Word, we should start with step one. Don't skip any steps. Don't make up your own steps, but follow exactly what God's SOP is telling us. Do you want to be strong as an oak tree spiritually? Decide in your heart to look intently into the Word of God and apply it into your life exactly the way God wants you to apply it. Okay, when we are looking into the Bible, what are we looking into? Verse 25 of James answers that question. It's God's perfect law, which sets us free. It's God's perfect, complete law. We need no addendums, no revisions or supplements. It's perfect. It's God's authority and standard for our lives. Everything we could ever need in this life is here in God's Word. It is the law that gives us freedom in Christ Jesus. It both commands and empowers us. It frees us from the bondage of our old sinful nature. It gives us freedom because it brings us into humble submission to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is God's love that works within our hearts, giving us the desire to do His will. In a manner of speaking, we as Christians are not free not to do God's will. We're not free to do that. He is our master. We are just slaves. Men and women are not free when they want to do, oh, I'm sorry, men and women are free when they want to do what they should do. And we are free when we do the things that we ought to do. James says that if God's Word is to take root in our lives, first there must be an intense looking into God's Word, not just one and done, not just an intermittent approach to the Word of God, thinking that a few acts of obedience will keep God happy. God is not interested in isolated acts of obedience. And second, we must continually look into what God wants us to apply to our lives. Okay, parents, oh, and grandparents too. How would you feel? How would you feel if little Johnny came up to you and says,
Pops,
I'm going to make a deal with you. How about if I obey you 10 times a month and disobey you 17 times a month? Well, I know in my case, that would have been a great deal because little Johnny usually disobeys me 34 times a month, so that's a 50% increase in obedience. Well, as parents, if we would not accept such an arrangement, what makes us think God would accept a similar situation with us? We read in God's Word, don't steal, don't murder, don't covet. And we say to ourselves, okay, I can do that. But then we read, love your neighbors as yourself. And we say, have you met my neighbor? I didn't know Satan's offspring could own property. So we pick and choose the commands of the master we're going to obey. James says that we are to look intently. We're to look continually into the Word of God and do what it says. David said in the Psalms, I love your laws. I meditate on them the first and fourth Sunday of every month. No, he didn't say that. In Psalms 1:2, he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And in Joshua 1:8, Joshua wrote, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. In closing, since the time I began going to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, I've had the fortune of having the Lord minister to me through worship songs. One song in particular, which was sung at one of the first Arizona men's retreats, I still have the song sheet, which was several years ago. Yeah, and I still have the song sheet. And this is how their song went. Soften my heart with oil. Open my eyes to see. Fill me with understanding. Soften my heart to receive. I want all that you have for me, Jesus. All that you have for me. Open my understanding. Soften my heart to receive. I want all that you have for me. Don't let my heart be fallow. Don't let my heart be hard. Water me with your spirit. Soften the ground of my heart. So what are you doing? Be doers of God's perfect word. Doers with fertile hearts can produce 30, 60, and 100-fold of what God sows.